Yo, everybody, welcome back to the Shack. And you with your boy T-Shawn Peoples, man. And look, we are here with another loaded night. So, hope everybody's Monday been going well. You know what I'm saying? I had a day off today, so I've been able to kind of chill, get my mind right, focus on, you know, what I want to do for the rest of the week, get some rest. So, hope for those who work, you're able to get some rest and chill out for your night. You know what I'm saying? We got a good one. So, before I start off the show, I just want to make a quick update announcement. And this announcement is simple. So, I have decided that I have a new format to the podcast. The Shack, like I said, is a universal podcast which I can talk about any and everything. And I want to be able to communicate with everybody in every aspect of the way that I possibly can. And I don't want to just have, you know, every episode just be my thoughts, and because it can kind of drain out. And I don't want to ever, you know, get disengaged from you guys. So what I have decided to do is I have come up with a very good format. Every Monday, I'm going to cover two news topics, maybe three, just depending on the time. And then on Tuesdays is going to be a day where I either answer questions that I do get from you guys, specifically related to any question that you guys have, or just my own free thoughts. So it could just be any thoughts, you know, like my vaccine and mask conversation. It could be anything of the sort. And then to top it off, on my Thursday's podcast, I'm going to have the podcast to where I do sports and music or entertainment. So that way it's like each podcast have different focuses, different aims, and I'm gonna still continue to push and drive the local brands in Sacramento. And again, eventually I'm gonna try to branch out the more and more, start doing more and more research on just businesses that can affect us in good ways, of course, and then things that are interesting, of course, and things that I could buy you, and that could be beneficial and put money in the pockets of, you know, people who are trying to build a brand and eventually one day enterprise, hopefully. So, tonight is going to be for that part of our show, for the two businesses I'm going to focus on, two that I did a couple weeks ago, which was, the UFO clothing. So, in this brand, we have Ricky and Alicia. They are a power couple who wants to give the best quality, unique look for every customer. Every customer has to feel like they're different. You know, when you go to a store and you buy certain clothes, it's always the same. It's like you can go to a store and buy a shirt, and then somebody can go right behind you and buy that same shirt. And it's like you can go to a club and accidentally see this person, and you guys look just alike just because you guys are wearing the same thing. So it's important that we go and get our own identity, because there are brands that do that. And this is one brand that do it. They have, like I said, they have came out with like Black Lives Matter tees, you know. Then they've had a melanated tees with the men and women, and they even dug deep with the signs for, you know, the Scorpio signs and things like that. They've done those by the months, you know, and then they did superstars, celebrities, but giving them their strength, showing off their powers that, you know, celebrities are, you know, celebrities, but they also have powers that influence us all. And then they also have brands. There you go. They also have brands that are they also have things for kids. So this is universal. They do jerseys, they have tie-dye. So everything that they have is pretty much straightforward, and it's for everybody. And they do customs, so you can get a shirt that is Black Lives Matter, but your shirt could be a different color outline, or it can have, you know what I'm saying, a shirt that's tie-dye with the logo. So it's a lot of personal identity when it comes down to these outfits. So trust me, you guys will want to tap in with them. You know what I'm saying? You can find them on Instagram at UFO Clothing, and then you can find them at UFOClothingCo.com. That's UFOClothing.com. And they, trust me, the UFO clothes is fire. I done bought pretty much every single series from them, so tap in. And then we're gonna go back and focus on my wife, JI Photography. So again, she does child photography, she does weddings, single portraits, you name it, she does it all. When it comes down to that field, she's been doing it pretty much since I've known her back in middle school, and we are 25, 26 now, so that's been a long time, and this has been her passion. She's done some of the best work I've seen her do. And my homeboy, he had his daughter sister came over with her son, and she did a shoot for him, and she was able to work through the kinks, because you know, she, when you're working with kids, like I said in my last one, if y'all didn't hear mine, that's what I did for her in the last one, like, that takes patience. So she was able to get him to get the poses by herself with no mom interaction. Like, the mom would interact, you know, say look here and things like that, but she was on it. She was fire. She had the patience for it. She did a wedding recently. She has another wedding coming up. She's getting booked up. So you guys will want to go and get with her. You guys can find her on Instagram at JI Photography. You know, great deals. Nothing too out of the ordinary. So if you guys want to get with somebody who is pretty much well-rounded and they have a good background and experience, you guys want to reach out with her. So that's for my businesses for today. We got to do that. We got to start sharing love. I want to keep doing this. That's why I want to kind of focus on repeating these again, because I don't want to just keep moving forward. I want to focus on it. Next week on my podcast, on next Tuesday, I believe, I am going to do an interview with the owners of UFO Clothing and NJI Photography, so you guys can get a better understanding of them personally. And then I'm going to try to do that following week as well with Sade Kump Clothing, and then with Kame's Pro Auto Star. So we're going to get on that next week, so stay tuned for that on next Tuesday. Support your local brands, your up-and-coming entrepreneurs, because, you know, we want to put money into the pockets that really count, the ones that's really there for us, not the ones that's already big. You know what I'm saying? We already bought enough Nike and Gucci. We done bought enough of it. We have so much of them styles. It's kind of getting repetitive. Get something new. Okay, now let's get into it. So tonight, I decided that I'm going to focus on two big topics that I've seen off of Reddit when I was on there and doing a little bit of research, just trying to find some things to get my mind right. So the first thing I found was going to be, give me a second, reloading up here. So the first thing it's going to be talking about is going to be about the new Delta COVID variant that's spreading around. Now, this is something that I want to talk about, because just not too long ago, I was talking in my previous podcast about the vaccine and mask and the impact of that. And so to see this, you know, a week later, basically, is just funny to me, because this is my whole concept. We don't know the full effect of these things yet, so we can't act too early and we can't get too comfortable. We still need to take precaution. And some of this article is talking about, you know, the WHO urged fully vaccinated people to continue to wear masks and practice to COVID-19 pandemic safety measures as the highly contagious Delta variant spreads rapidly across the globe. And then it also says people cannot feel safe just because they had two doses. They still need to protect themselves. WHO official doctor, hopefully I don't mess this on, Margaret, I'm just going to call her Margaret Simone. So this is what she's saying. She's telling people, like, you know what I'm saying, don't feel safe. Don't get comfortable. That was my whole point behind it. Like, why get comfortable? Why get complacent? Why get this far and then shut down ourselves again, get back into a predicament? You know what I'm saying? It don't make sense for us to do that. It don't. We need to really make sure that everybody in our community stays safe, the kids stay safe, and just keep practicing these measures. This is still a fresh wound. It's not fully healed. Some people are still dealing with the long-term effects of this. People have lost family members because of this. So a lot of people are really taking this thing serious, and for people to really just get a couple of shots and think that it's, you know, that it's over is bad. So another thing that they're saying in this thing is the number of new cases in the U.S. has held steady over the last week at an average of 11,000 new cases per day. According to the data compiled by Johns Hopkins University, still new infections have been plummeting over the last several months. So what this is saying to me is don't just go off the thought that just because numbers is going down, that people are not still getting infected. And just because they're not deaths, that people are still not getting infected, because we don't know the impact. We're trying to get to a point where this thing can be basically completely zero. It's no more of a thing, but it will forever be a thing. But we can get it under control and we can fight it. You never see the army go into a battle understaffed. And this is what this feels like. This is a battle that we're in. You know, it already hit a lot of our soldiers. We was able to regroup, get a control, you know, come up with a new game plan to attack this virus and to attack these guys. We're getting under control. But then some of us in this fight feel that since this virus is getting outnumbered, and since this virus, since we have these mass weapons of destruction, that this virus does not have weapons working with them too. They feel that they have them outnumbered. So some people go into this battle way too carelessly. And you don't want to slip up and still get COVID, whether it's not as bad. You don't want to get it or this new virus, because we don't even know if this new virus will even work with this. That's another thing. We don't know if it's going to really do anything with this one, if it's a whole other variant. Now the WHO said last week that the Delta is becoming the dominant variant of the disease worldwide. So it's taking over the regular COVID-19, the original one that we had. WHO officials have said the variant first found in India, but now in at least 92 countries is the fastest and fittest coronavirus strain yet, and will pick off the most vulnerable people, especially in places with low COVID vaccination rates. Now, this is something I'm a little iffy on. I don't know, but they could be true. They could not be, you know what I'm saying? But just because people are not vaccinated, that's not the problem. That's not the problem, okay? I don't feel like that's the problem, because again, we don't even know if this variant works, or you know, these vaccines work with this variant. I just feel like this is the whole point in general. Just stay safe. Just follow the rules in the first place. You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna be out, keep your mask on, keep your hand sanitizer, wash your hands before you eat. You know what I'm saying? When you get home, if it's that serious to you, take your clothes off, take a shower, you know what I'm saying? Drink some tea, you know, do something mentally positive. Stay on the positive side. Don't get too complacent. Don't just be going out and then just because you're hot, you want to take your mask off. You can pull it down real quick, take a nice, cool, you know, fresh breath of air away from certain people, just feel comfortable, and then put it back up just to kind of, you know what I'm saying, knock the edge off. A lot of us, we're older, so we have to think this way. We can't keep acting like, you know, we're just super young and we just have it all figured out. We don't. It's still things that we have to stay up upon. You know, we don't, you know, punish our kids, right? You know, my mom and my dad never punished me, but still give me good privileges. It's like when I'm punished. I eat still. That's a privilege. I take a bath still. That's a privilege. And I still have my bed. That's a privilege. And I'm still able to stay in that house. That's a privilege. And then all the things that I love, my game, my phone, things of that sort, that's not really important, that's not a necessity, it's gone. You don't need it. That's how I look at this virus. We have to not ease up off of it. Let's still stay on top of it. Let's let it know, like, nah, you ain't gonna get the best of me. You're not gonna get the best of me. Okay. They're also saying that they said there were reports that the Delta variant also causes more severe symptoms, but more research is needed to confirm those conclusions. Still, there are signs that the Delta strain could provoke different symptoms than other variants. It has the potential to be more lethal because of it's more efficient in the way it transmits between humans, and it will eventually find those vulnerable individuals who will become severely ill, have to be hospitalized and potentially die. Dr. Mike Ryan, executive director of the WHO's official health emergencies program, said Monday. Okay, so this is something that I was going in with before. With all these places opening back up, there's nothing wrong with it if everybody's going to be doing what they have to do. I don't feel everybody's going to do what they have to do. And if it is more lethal, we just need to keep a smart thing. So I feel like stores do need to kind of go back to kind of having a number on the capacity of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want it to be too many people in there. Like, I'm working at a store right now where our AC in the front of the store is messed up. So literally, it's no fresh air. And it's like, it's just hot. And there's people who might have their mask off. And it just makes it more humid. You just feel the humidity. So it's like, we don't want to be kind of slipping. So these are making all the points that I was already making. These are just the confirmations. And the U.S. President Joe Biden said COVID deaths nationwide will continue to rise due to the spread of the dangerous Delta variant, calling it a serious concern. He warned that Americans who are still unvaccinated are especially at risk. 600,000 plus Americans have died. And this Delta variant, you know there's going to be others as well. You know it's going to happen. We've got to get young people vaccinated, Biden said Thursday at the community center. So that's the narrative. Now, the vaccine is what is the dangling carrot. The narrative, though, is keep your fucking mask on. Simple. Keep your shit on. We're not going to argue it. We're not going to sit here and play this fucking game of, I don't have to have my mask due to X, Y, and Z. Keep your shit on. Keep your family safe. Keep, you know, people around you safe, because we don't want nobody to keep experiencing what, you know, a lot of people already had to experience. And unfortunately, yeah, it will happen. People will get this virus. People will, unfortunately, have to deal with these kind of things, but we can slow it down. We can be in control. Nothing has to control us when we can control it. You know, when we dealt with this the first time around, we had no idea. Now we have all the experience, all the knowledge, all the focus that we need to really, you know what I'm saying, get through to the situation. So that's my first story, man. So, like I said, that relates back to my mask and vaccine situation. And I felt like I had to cover that because it was just, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that's needed right now. Like I said, this is something I'm pushing. I don't care, per se, vaccinated, you know what I'm saying? Just stay safe still. We don't know everything that's going on. And it's going to be, you know what I'm saying, up to people to do what they have to do. So that's that particular story, you know what I'm saying? So I'm about to get ready to go into my next one. Now, there was a couple that I wanted to talk about. One of them was going to be the Facebook situation, but they kind of handled that. I was, you know, just, I can give y'all, you know, just a quick rundown there. It's talking about, you know, Texas or something, which is about to give Facebook a lawsuit, you know, through some situations with some sex trafficking or something like that. And I just, you know, I feel where the energy was coming from, you know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to really kind of give my thoughts a little bit more on if that was something that we need to start looking at as parents, with the social media being the way it is. Like, a lot of kids love TikTok. A lot of kids love, you know what I'm saying, all these new challenges and all these videos that they see. Like, this is the current world that we lived in, like, that we living in right now. So Facebook, just like Instagram or any other social media site, has thousands of just videos on there that after time is just innocent to the kids. But we know that there's people that's kind of sick-minded and fucked up in the head. So we know that there's people that behind screens do this catfishing and try to lure people in and, you know, make people be convinced that there's something that they're not. And we don't know, you know, we know that's as serious as hell. But we as parents as well have to be on top of this. You know what I'm saying? It's hard, though. That's the thing. That's the problem. There's video games. You know what I'm saying? You got internet on video games. Not every parent's going through putting parental locks on everything. Because most parents just trust that their kids is going to do the right thing. So this is a relationship where parents have to kind of tighten up on a bit. I'm not saying you got to be in all your kids' business. But let it be known to your kids that you do not need to talk to everybody that's on Facebook. If you don't know them, if they ain't got no actual mutual friends of yours, this some random person, you know what I'm saying? They ain't, you know, teach your kids at an early age about catfishing. I feel like that's my new mindset to it. Because this is the age of internet. Kids can't avoid the internet, especially through the time of the Zoom calls. Kids got free laptops and shit. I don't know if the school was monitoring them, but I feel like they was able to do whatever they wanted. My sister's watching, you know, YouTube videos on it, so I don't think they was on it like that, you know what I'm saying? So, like, think about that. Like, this is the era where, as a parent, let your kids know about a lot of the things that they're watching, they're about to get into. Just like a conversation that we have about sex, is like, this is the conversation we have to have with the internet. You know what I mean? It's like a relationship that's going to happen. But you need to set the boundaries and make sure your kid know, you know, like, and even adults, we should even know. We shouldn't even just be talking to random motherfuckers. Like, we typically, motherfuckers don't even let people who they know get in a circle. So why, once we get on Facebook, we're more comfortable? Maybe because it's just a thought identity. But we have to be smart, man. We have to be smart. Put your kids on game, though, ahead of time, about what all these catfishes is, true pages, fake pages, you know what I'm saying? And tell them that even if you need to be safe, tell them every once in a while, hey, I know it sounds corny, I know it ain't the most best thing to say, but like, you can even tell your kid, hey, when you get a friend request, let me see who adding you. Let me see. So that way you can observe what's going on, make sure that this person is regular. Like, if they know it's a friend, then you know it's a friend. If you know this person, you know the person. But if you don't know them and you got doubts, let me know. Because people can play these roles and things can get pretty bad, you know what I'm saying, once things happen off the internet, once numbers get exchanged, once things get off the internet and it gets to numbers and people don't know what's going on, it can take a messy situation. I just want to know if, like, you know, and I feel like maybe that's why Facebook didn't get this lawsuit. That's kind of was my argument. Like, we can't put that on Facebook. Facebook already has so many rules and regulations to it. Like, they can't physically stop everybody from making Facebook. It's so easy to make an account. It's not like it's something that you have to pay for. It's free. So if you can make an account with a Gmail, you can get kicked off of one and go make another one in like a matter of seconds. No problem. So it's something that parents have to teach their kids to be on. And sometimes adults, we just have to take more serious. If we care about our livelihood, we care about, you know, we want to be safe, we have to be safe, teach safety, and show that we want to be safe. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not saying everybody that you meet on Facebook has a narrative, but there's a lot of times you get a Facebook page and it's nothing but spams. People trying to, you know, have you go to a bank and do shit. Like, it be bullshit sometimes. So half the time, you don't even want to get involved with people if you don't really know them. So just keep that in mind. We got to teach our kids this. Once our kids learn these things and they have an idea of what's really going on, have a grasp of it, maybe situations like this can be avoided. So we're going to get into my next situation, which is something that, you know, I'm more new. I'm dabbling in more information, you know what I'm saying, like daily. You know what I'm saying? Expanding my horizons. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the Johnson & Johnson opioid situation that's going on. Now, reason why I want to focus on that is because I never knew that Johnson & Johnson, like I said, if you knew, you know what I'm saying, you just, you know, tapped in with me, you know what I'm saying? But the fact that they have to pay $230 million for opioid claim settlement. And so I want to dive into this. And they said they're about to end this business, but let's dive into it a little bit. Let's see what's going on. Let's see. So here goes some of the key points that they want to point out. Excuse me. So New York Attorney General's office said the agreement bans J&J from promoting opioids through any means and prohibits lobbying about such products at the federal, state, or local events. However, Johnson & Johnson said it had already exited the business. As part of the settlement, the company will resolve opioid-related claims and allocate a payment over 9 years. The settlement follows years of lawsuits by states, cities, and counties amongst major pharmaceutical companies over opioid crisis, which has killed nearly 500,000 people in the U.S. since 1999. So again, this is what messed me up about this. Like, Tylenol is something that I know is medicine. Now, to what degree, if it's just child medicine or just a headache medicine or a certain medicine, I know that they're in the pharmaceutical company. So I know that they will probably have some sort of business to do in making pills and profiting off of pills. But this is a company that I never thought was in it. Now they're saying that they're not in it. Maybe that's just a cover up to cover their ass. I don't know. But I'm so interested to know what other companies are doing something like what Johnson & Johnson doing. Because I know a lot of companies are making, you know, money off of being a brand. So for me, Johnson & Johnson was like baby lotions and stuff like that. I didn't know it went further than the body care. Now, to know that now is more of like, now you know that a lot of these companies don't do science. So I'm not too surprised, not too surprised, because a lot of these companies do research. Because when I heard that they were doing the vaccine, that's why I was a little appalled. Like, what the fuck? Now, when they get in that business, you know what I'm saying? You just think that they just keep it strictly, you know what I'm saying? Like, lotions that just kind of blow your mind when you hear it. So Johnson & Johnson has agreed to the $230 million settlement with New York State that bars the company from promoting opioids and confirmed that has any distribution of such products within the United States. New York Attorney General Lita James' office in a statement Saturday said that the agreement bans J&J from promoting opioids through any means. You know what I'm saying? And Johnson & Johnson has not marketed. Johnson & Johnson saying that they has not marketed off of opioids in the U.S. since 2015 and fully discontinued the business in 2020. So if you didn't make profit off of it, how do you, in my opinion, how do you, you know what I'm saying, end it in 2020? You know what I'm saying? We gotta figure that out. So if they ain't been marketing in the U.S., this must be something that's going on out of the U.S. You know what I'm saying? They still gotta make money because, again, it's something that's happening. You ain't gonna be getting these claims if it's not happening. So let's look at it. As a part of the settlement, the company will resolve opioids-related claims and all cap payments over 9 years. It could also pay $30 million more in the first year if the state executive chamber signs into a law, new legislation creating an opioid settlement fund, according to the press release from James' office. Okay, so damn. I don't know who this money is going to. Hopefully they can answer me. I don't know if it's going to, you know what I'm saying, if it's going to families or if it's going to the government. We don't know. But let's see. The settlement follows years of lawsuits by state, cities, and counties against major pharmaceutical companies over the opioid crisis, which that killed nearly 500,000 people in the U.S. in the last couple decades. Governments have argued that companies overprescribe the drugs, causing people to become addicted and abuse other illegal forms of opioids, while companies have said that they've distributed the necessary amount of the product to help people with medical issues. The opioid epidemic has wreaked havoc on countless communities across New York State and the rest of the nation, leaving millions still addicted to dangerous and deadly opioids, James said in a statement. Johnson & Johnson helped fuel this fire, but today they're committing to leaving the opioid business, not only in New York, but across the entire country. Okay, so that was my point. Maybe they were selling it after getting all these lawsuits. That's probably like, yep, it's not for them. We ain't going, we don't want no smoke with the people in America, because obviously what we doing, they saying it's making it worse. So let's see if we can get it out onto the outsource. Let's see if we can still push it. All right. So opioids will no longer be manufactured or sold in the United States by Johnson & Johnson. Now, the New York opioid lawsuit trial against the rest of the defendants will begin this week. According to the release, other defendants in the New York suit include Purdue Pharma, McCondrick LLC, Endo Health Solutions, Teva Pharmaceuticals USA, and Allergen Finance LLC. In a statement Saturday, Johnson & Johnson said that the settlement is not an admission of liability or wrongdoing by the company and is consistent with the terms of the previous announced $5 billion all in a settlement agreement and the principle for resolution of opioid lawsuit and claims by states, cities, and counties and tribal governments. So like I said, they're going to bring that money up and it's going back to all them people that sold are affected, as they say, and basically cover their ass. That's all this is for. They can't bring not a single person back. They can't, you know, stop what's already been done, but they can break off bread, and that's okay, you know, whatever. Now, the company also said it will continue to defend against any lawsuits the final agreement does not resolve. James said the state will focus on funding for opioid prevention. Now, that is what I wanted to hear. You know what I'm saying? Treatment education efforts in order to prevent any future devastation. So that is what I want this to end off with right here, is we need this last part. Funding on opioid prevention, you know what I'm saying? Treatment and education. Now, that is something that has to be pushed. A lot of people are addicted to things because they can't get off of it. There's no resources. Yeah, now, I don't feel Johnson & Johnson's the full blame. Now, you can't attack all these pharmaceutical companies for these things because a lot of people could be pill poppers before having real shit happens to them. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, people do shit and it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who will pop a pill? Just to pop a pill, you know what I'm saying? If you have an excruciating headache, then you should probably take something that's going to really knock that out. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people already know ahead of time that Tylenols are a little weak. So don't take nothing that's going to be weak if it's going to make you take something aggressive. Just take something that's probably a little more stronger than that, that's going to do that particular job. You know what I'm saying? People probably take pills for things and they don't work, and they be taking other things and it builds up. So even though there is a lot of liability there because they provided, they made and sold these things, I also do feel that it's also the responsibility of these companies, I mean, of other people, to slow down. Because I mean, there's a lot of addictions in America. The opioid addiction has been pretty bad. You know what I'm saying? There's been a lot of great rappers that they passed away due to pills and like the lean and shit. And it's like, it is a point that a company, they are taking liability, that, you know what I'm saying? Now the wrongdoing, I kind of feel like there is some wrongdoing, because if you were a part of this, you were a stem of this, your company was a part with all these other companies, was a part of something. So it's like, in a way, you are liable. But I do feel like at the same time, you know what I'm saying, these things go on anywhere. There's people that sell, you know, pills on the street. You know, this is not nothing that nobody know about. People have to control this shit. And for them to come out and say that they're going to work on a treatment, education, or and efforts to prevent this in the future, that would be perfect. That's the way to start it. Make programs instantly. If this is what you need to do to get yourself clear and to help with the problem, is not suing. I mean, you can sue or whatever, but the main thing is all these companies, from Purdue Pharma to Endo Health Solutions, Teva Pharmaceutical USA, all of them companies, they can come together with the government and with these cities and with these states and with the tribal governments, and they can figure out together as a collective whole, okay, how can we stop this from happening? What can we do? How can we put our money into something bigger than just the lawsuits? Yeah, we understand, but we can make a change right now. That would be the best move. People need to be educated on these pills, what they do, how they impact their bodies. You know, it's hard for people to kick them kind of drugs. Those are pills are a little bit more depending than other drugs. Like, you know, I know there's potheads in the world, but like, people can go to work and not probably still not smoke for 8 hours, and probably do have other things to do for another few hours, and go 10, maybe 12 hours without smoking, and can function, and like, they might think about it. You know what I'm saying? People who have urges and things might think about anything. People personally might smoke a cigarette, might want to think about smoking a cigarette, or a person who drink might want to think about taking a drink. So people who have addictions already go through these processes. It's just how we can resolve these things. How can a person get help? How can a person fix these situations in order to make it better? A person better down the long run, and we don't have to deal with these situations that's affecting us in the long haul. So I feel like there's steps to it. We gotta, you know, propel ourselves to get to them steps. And I, you know, I do applaud Johnson & Johnson for at least taking accountability and knowing that there has to be change. You know what I'm saying? There has to be change. And I feel like this is just a huge message for us all. You know what I'm saying? We all have, like, certain things that we're addicted to. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we got to just let us know. Like, that just lets me know we got to slow down a little bit on for certain things. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Some people probably be drinking and don't get drunk no more and feel like they got to keep drinking. And then they finally get blacked out. And they don't remember nothing that happened the next day. You know what I'm saying? Some people, certain things can get to the point where it's like you got to do something else. So we gotta take all of these things in consideration too. We can point fingers at these companies, but a lot of people just do shit just because. A lot of people just like to take pills just because they like to take pills. Some people take pills because they really be in pain. Some people take pills because they love the high of it. You know what I mean? So it's like we can point the finger because they produce this shit, but at the same time, we as people got to do better too, because it's like, damn. You know what I mean? It's messed up when you hear about somebody passed away from some shit. But like 9 times out of 10, it's not like it was from that Johnson & Johnson particular, you know, medicine that killed the person. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my mindset to it, man. So that's how we gonna wrap this up tonight, man. I feel like, you know what I mean, both of these subjects kind of go back and forth in a way. Not necessarily, because I feel like with the mask and vaccine situation, that just learns us not to be so ahead of ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Never get too comfortable. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to be in a basketball game and with 2 minutes left, we up 10, but we don't want to get comfortable. We don't want to sub in players that ain't played all year now because we're up. We want to we're still in the championship game. It's still game 7. It's still pride on the line. It's still a team that got their starters in and they're hungry and they can make shots in 2 minutes. They can come back from 10 points in 2 minutes. So why take your foot off the gas? You know what I'm saying? It's like the Marshawn reference for me. Like, why didn't Seattle just run the ball with Marshawn Lynch? Why try to pass it? You know what I'm saying? Like, you see the whole narrative is like, why try to get more? You already got the vaccine, so cool. You're good. Now, why not just wear the mask? Because that's probably still going to make you safe. That's going to keep everybody else around you safe. But nope. Now, you want to just be everywhere. You don't want to just follow the simple game plan. Stay the course. And then that's what this is talking about, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to, as a people, be more aware what these companies got going on. These companies invest a lot of their money in a different shit. A lot of these companies got different sponsorships. A lot of these companies got different, type of sciences that they put their money into. They put their money into different type of charity events and different research programs and shit. And so we never really know what companies are affecting us, even in negative ways. You know, not to even bash Johnson & Johnson or nothing like that, because that's not my job. But I'm just saying, hey, we know this is why the local businesses have to become a thing. We need more young Black African American researchers. You know what I'm saying? And doctors and medicine pioneers. There's a lot of people who don't even believe medicine is the real route, that just having a better diet is the way. So we have to be educated on things that we can do to really strengthen ourselves. That's a lot about, you know, education. A lot of us just believe that, you know, we go to the hospital, something's good, we're good. No, we got to be more educated on what we're doing. We have to make sure that if there is something that's not working for us, maybe sign a different aim. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully, like, really Johnson & Johnson can be taking a big step into starting something that can be the first thing of prevention to get people help. Because a lot of people want to get help. It's just not a lot of things out there at that time to help you really get over these things. So I'm pretty sure people will be willing to take the help if it's offered. So you know what I'm saying? This is going to be my podcast for tonight. Catch me tomorrow night here at 8, where I'm going to dive into just questions, certain topics, hit on them real fast. Shout out my other two businesses. And then, you know, we'll go from there. So I hope y'all enjoyed tonight's podcast, man. Every Monday I'll be doing news topics, you know what I'm saying? 2 or 3 topics. And, you know, hopefully y'all enjoy me. Y'all just rock with it, man. So hope y'all have a good night, man. See you on the next time here in the Shack. Peace.